We hurry to gather all our things and race down the stairs and across the bridges, holding our shoes in our hands. "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," Mara mutters under her breath the entire way to the car.
"Bye,"
the guys call after us. "We are so fucked," Mara yells once we get in the car. "Okay, calm down. There's a perfectly good lie that can explain everything. Let's just think. You said you were staying at my house. I said I was staying at your house. Change of plans. We stayed at Megan's house instead."
"Who's Megan?" she cries as we peel out of the parking lot.
"It doesn't matter," I tell her, my mind thinking quickly. "We stayed up late, and we were all having a good time until she started being mean, and we got in an argument and left. That's why we're coming home in the middle of the night. See? Not fucked, okay?"
"You think that will work?" she asks frantically.
"Yes. Just stick to the story and act like it's the truth. Remember how good you were with the gas station guy?" I remind her.
"Uh-huh,"
she murmurs, looking like she might actually cry. "Same thing, except easier because my parents will believe anything. Trust me," I assure her. We make it to my house in only 11 minutes. Mara and I tiptoe through my front door and pause, listening for any signs that we might be caught. I silently lock the door behind us and we move to my bedroom as fast as we can. I press my hand gently against my bedroom door so it just clicks into place. I turn around to face Mara, who's standing in the middle of my bedroom with her hands palms up, her mouth hanging open.
"Did we just seriously pull this off?"
she asks slowly, her mouth closing with a grin, grabbing both of my hands in hers.
"I think we did," I whisper back.
"Holy shit!"
Mara squeals, jumping up and down.
"Shh, shh,"
I mouth, silently laughing. We change out of our weed-stenched clothes and into pajamas. I roll up my sleeping bag on the floor as Mara climbs into my bed. I lie down and take a deep breath.
"We are totally badass. You realize that, right?"
Mara whispers. I feel myself grin. "Good night."
"So explain to me how you wound up here last night,"
Dad says, standing over Mara at our kitchen table. It has only been a few hours since we crept in. Mara meets my eyes cautiously as she scoops up a spoonful of cereal and puts it in her mouth. This was about our fifth bowl of cereal each. "I told Mom already," I lie. "Megan started with us and we decided to leave. Now that Mara has a car," I smile at him.
"I never liked Megan anyway,"
Mara adds, and we can't help it. We burst out laughing.
"Scary thought, you girls behind the wheel,"
he says, blowing on his coffee. He walks into the living room, shaking his head.
"See?" I tell her.
"Hurry up, Edie. There's something I want to go do," Mara whispers. 20 minutes later, we're sitting in Mara's car in the parking lot of a seedy strip mall I've never even seen before. There's a liquor store, a watch repair shop, a hydroponics place, and a dollar store.
"Okay, you got me, Mara. What the hell are we doing here?"
"Look," she says, pointing to a detached building at the very back of the plaza. The sign says, "Skin Deep, Alternative Body Art." Again, I ask, what are we doing here?
"You know,"
she sings, unbuckling her seatbelt.
"Are you still high?" I shout. "It's my birthday," she yells back.
"No, your birthday was Thursday. Remember you got your car and we went out to eat? And then your birthday was Friday. I'll give you that one, okay? And we bought alcohol illegally. And then we got baked with two complete strangers from our rival school. But now it's Saturday. It's not your birthday anymore, Mara, and I am absolutely not letting you do anything you can't undo if you're thinking what I'm thinking you're thinking."
"Okay, Mom," she says with a laugh, getting out of the car.
I open my car door.
"Wait,"
I call after her. She turns around and grins, walking backward a few steps. I run to catch up with her.
"Okay, just hold on. This seems like a super shady place, Mara."
"It's not shady. Cameron works here. It's fine," she says, shooing me with her hand as she walks ahead of me.
"Him again?" I moan.
"Mara, please."
"Not him again. Him. Still. Look, he's my friend, Edie. He's not a bad guy. I don't know why you hate him so much."
He hates me, too, I try to defend myself.
He does not,
she snaps, reaching for the door. Edie, please just be nice to him. I want you with me for this, okay? Okay, okay. Just tell me it's not going to be a tattoo. She smiles. Nose ring. I smile back. Fine. Let's go in. I even hold the door for Mara just to show her how cool I am with this.
Hey, you.
Cameron calls out from the back of the room, walking toward us with a smile. Toward Mara with a smile, anyway. I told you, as soon as I turned 16. I'm here. Wait, don't you actually have to be 18? I ask.
16 with parents' consent,
Cameron corrects. But you don't have parents' consent, I say to Mara. Cameron rolls his eyes and looks at Mara like I must be the most tedious square on the planet. Well, we didn't have parents' consent last night either, Mara says, laughing. Cameron grins at her.
Do I even want to know?
You would definitely not approve, Cam, Mara tells him. We were bad girls.
Then don't tell me,
he says, pretending to cover his ears.
I don't believe you could do anything bad.
He looks at Mara so sweetly, like maybe he really is into her finally. Then he looks to me.
Edie, on the other hand.
I roll my eyes at him.
Kidding, Edie.
But I know he's not.
Okay, come on back,
he says, leading the way down a hall to a little room.
Have a seat.
He gestures to what looks like a dentist's chair. It's all very clinical and sterile. Smells like rubbing alcohol or iodine or something. It leaves a bitter chemical taste in my mouth. You sure you want to do this, right? I ask her as she climbs into the chair. It is your face, you know. Is it going to hurt? Tell me the truth, she asks Cameron instead of answering me. He dabs at her left nostril with a cotton swab and smiles as he looks down into her face.
I'm not going to lie. It really will hurt, but only for like 2 seconds and then it's over. I promise.
Okay, she whispers. Then she looks to me, taking my hand. Cameron, do you really, really know what you're doing? Not being rude, I promise, just, you can really do this, right? I ask him.
Yes, Edie, I do this every day. Really. It's okay.
Cameron's going to be a tattoo artist, Mara says. Yeah, sure he is, I want to say. Fine, just be careful.
I will.
He says softly, gripping onto her nostril with this creepy-looking pair of silver tongs.
Your eyes are going to water, but it's okay. That's totally normal,
he tells her, placing a tissue in her hand.
Okay, Mara, turn your head toward me and close your eyes.
I watch him bring the biggest needle I've ever seen in my entire life up to her tiny little nostril. I squeeze her hand harder than she squeezes mine.
Okay, take a deep breath,
Cameron says. I do.
And exhale.
I close my eyes and feel Mara's whole body go tense, but she doesn't make a sound.
That was it. Now I'm just putting the ring in. Take another breath. Okay, and exhale. That's it. That's it, you did it.
He laughs. I open my eyes. Mara has a little sparkly stud in her nose. Tears are streaming from her eyes, but she has the biggest smile on her face as she looks up at Cameron. That was it? She asks him.
Yeah, look. Here.
He says, handing her a mirror.
Oh my God!
She shouts, sitting up straight. Then she looks to me, then back to the mirror, then back to me. Do you like it?
I love it, I tell her, and I mean it. This is the best day of my life, she says, throwing her arms around Cameron's neck.
He smiles as he leans in and hugs her back. Then she lets go and hugs me, too. Cameron and I smile at each other, truthfully, for the first time ever. The next week at school, we walk down the hall. Mara alongside me with her nose ring and freshly dyed cranberry hair. It seems like she's grown 10 inches taller. Something radiates from inside of her. I don't know what or how, but I wish some of whatever she's got would rub off on me. After school on Thursday, I wait for Mara at her locker so we can ride home together, but she's late. I pace up and down the hall, checking my phone. I'm not paying attention when suddenly I feel someone ram into my shoulder like a linebacker, spinning me around. I look up quickly. My mouth opens to apologize, but I stop short.
because it's Amanda glaring back at me. "Watch it," she snarls, her eyes cutting through me. I open my mouth again, searching for the words to put her in her place, but she's gone before I can think of anything. "Fuck you," I mouth back at her. I go sit down on the floor by Mara's locker and watch as everyone filters out. Watch as the guys, jocks and geeks alike, watch me, wondering what the truth is. If I really am all the things they've heard, and the girls, they watch me too, like I'm contagious, not really caring about the truth. I text Mara, "Where are you?" She writes back right away, "On my way, 5 minutes." But just as I'm about to text her back, I get another text. It's from a number I don't recognize. "Eden, still want a party tomorrow." Who is this? Really? I stand up and pace the hall, looking into the classrooms, making sure no one's lurking around watching me, fucking with me. Yes, really. Who is this? Troy. How did you get my number? You gave it to me, LOL. Question mark, question mark, question mark. You told me to let you know about the party at my house tomorrow night. You don't remember? I don't remember giving that guy my number. I don't remember anything about a party. I barely even remember that guy. Edie, sorry, Mara calls from down the hall. I was talking to Cameron after class. That's okay. Come here. Look at this, I tell her, holding my phone out. It's that guy Troy from the playground. Apparently I gave him my number, and apparently there's some kind of party tomorrow. I don't know. I don't remember any of this. Ringing any bells? Mara takes the phone from me and writes, don't remember, LOL, but tell me about this party? Cool, I'll text you the address. Make sure you bring your friend, smiley face. Okay. There, she says, handing me my phone back with a grin. I kissed that guy Alex, you know. You tramp, I gasp. I have no idea what I did with the other one, I guess. You didn't do anything, she says with a laugh, smacking me in the arm. I honestly think you two just passed out on each other, she says quietly, even though there's no one else in the hall. She would never say it, but I know it still weirds her out that I've had sex. Or maybe it's just knowing that people think I'm a total slut, that people talk about me like I'm a total slut, especially when she's standing there next to me, not one. So what's the deal with Cameron exactly? I ask her as we walk out to her car. She throws her arms up in the air. No fucking idea, Edie. I swear to God, he's driving me crazy. Sometimes I think he likes me just as a friend. Other times, I feel like he's about to kiss me. I don't know, I don't know, I just don't know, she yells. Yeah, it kind of seemed like he liked you, the way he was talking to you and looking at you at the piercing place, and how he's had to come and find you every single day just to ask how your nose is doing. But then, he doesn't ask you out or anything? Exactly, she shouts, swinging her car door open. Well, I'm done waiting for him. He's had almost 2 years to figure it out. 2 years, she tells me, looking across the hood of the car at me, this fire in her eyes. Okay, I tell her carefully. That's good, Mara. You don't have to wait for anyone. Exactly, she says again, except this time with conviction as she slams her door shut. Are you okay to be driving? I ask her, confused by this sudden anger. Oh, I'm more than okay. I'm great, she laughs, shifting the car into drive. I'm not sure if I should be laughing or concerned, so I just quietly say, okay. Maybe I want to go out with this Alex person, see what he thinks of that. She looks at me when I don't respond. Right? Right. I guess. But, I begin. But what? She interrupts. But it just seems like those guys are, I don't know, probably fun to hang out with or whatever, but I mean, they're big-time stoners. Obviously not boyfriend material. For you. She looks at me like I'm crushing all her dreams. Probably. I mean, I don't know them. Maybe not. But we'll go to the party, right? Sure. Good. She smiles and turns on the radio. We make 50 wrong turns getting to this house in the middle of nowhere. As we walk up the driveway, the noise spills out. It's a huge house, at least 3 stories, with light shining from every window. So this is a real party, huh?
Mara asks, holding on to my arm as we walk up the front steps in our skirts and skimpy shirts. We'll find out. We push through the open door and the smell of alcohol envelops us. We stand in what was formerly a living room but now looks to be a foundation for a landfill. The wood floors are covered in litter. Potato chips, popcorn, pizza, glass bottles, plastic cups. Music, bodies, yelling, pushing. It's like the animals escaped from the zoo. Mara and I look at each other, neither of us really knowing what we're supposed to do next. We had only been to the kind of parties at skating rinks and Chuck E. Cheese's. Text Troy, Edie. Let them know we're here, Mara tells me. I take my phone out, but some guy shoves another guy into me, nearly knocking me over, and I drop my phone. Watch it! Mara yells after the guy, but I can barely even hear her over the blaring music.
You all right?
Someone shouts from behind me, putting his hands on my shoulders. I turn around quickly, and this guy grabs each of my hands, holds my arms out to my sides, and looks me over.
You look good to me.
This guy with a smooth voice and a dangerous smile says, as he picks my phone up off the floor and hands it to me. I turn to Mara, who's ogling this mystery guy. Obviously attractive, obviously older than us. He smiles as I turn back to him, a smile that seems to mean a lot. Mara comes closer and yells, "We're looking for Alex and Troy?" This guy looks back and forth between Mara and me, confused.
"Why would you be looking for them?"
he says with a laugh, steering us farther into the house with one hand on my back and the other on Mara's shoulder. They invited us, Mara explains, as we're herded through the living room and into a kitchen that's been turned into one huge bar with a keg and an endless supply of bottled beer.
They invited you?
He asks, coming to a halt, looking at us alternately, repeating himself with exactly the same intonation as the first time.
Wait, they invited you?
Yes, Mara tells him innocently, and he just starts laughing.
All right,
he says, shaking his head.
Gotta give him props for that. Hey,
he calls to another guy standing in the kitchen, filling a plastic cup from the keg.
Hey, man, why don't you get some drinks for these two lovely ladies? Friends of Troy and his tool bag, Alex.
And they both start laughing. Mara looks at me like she doesn't get it. Clearly, our Alex and Troy are not of the top tier here. Keg guy hands both Mara and me a plastic cup full of beer, still laughing. They're not our friends, I correct, setting my cup down on the counter. We don't even know them, I protest, but they're not listening. I look at keg guy. He's older, too. I look all around us. Everyone's older. This is not a high school party. Clearly, this is a college party.
The only reason they're even here is because Troy's my little twerp brother. You'll find them out by the pool. They'll be the heads attached to the bong,
he says with a laugh, pointing in the direction of the back door, dismissing us like we're just these silly little girls.
Go on. Go get baked so you have something to talk about in home ec on Monday.
Mara starts walking away, unfazed. I follow her through the sliding screen door, and sure enough, there they are in a cloud of smoke with a small crowd encircling them. Everyone laughing and talking slowly. They look up and Alex yells,
Hey, you made it. Awesome. Come join us.
He slides over on the bench they're sitting on, making room for us. Now they suddenly don't seem so cool. I want to just turn around and leave. I forgot my drink, I tell Mara, but she's already left my side to go sit down with them, smiling and girly, already over our humiliation in the kitchen. I turn back to get my beer, the only thing that's going to make this bearable. That guy's still leaning against the counter next to his friend, his eyes following my every move as I walk back into the room. Excuse me, I say sharply. My drink. You're standing in front of it. I have to step in close, reaching around him, but he snatches the cup and holds it up high over my head.
First, tell me which one you're for. I gotta know,
he says, waving the cup in the air. I look up at the smirk on his face, the way he looks at me like I'm some kid he can tease, which is the total opposite of the way he was looking at me in the doorway 5 minutes earlier, like he liked what he saw before he knew I was connected to Troy. I cross my arms. I'm not for anyone, and I'm not jumping for that, so you can just stop embarrassing yourself, I tell him, looking around like I'm embarrassed for him. I sound tougher than I've ever sounded in my life. In fact, I feel tougher than I've ever felt in my life. Invincible.
"We got a live one,"
Keg Guy whistles.
"I didn't know,"
he says, his face changing from amused to intrigued.
"Sorry."
He finally hands me the cup. His eyes narrowing on me, he asks,
"You go to school with my brother?"
"No, we just met. He told us about this party. Thought we'd check it out." "Not impressed," I add, looking around like I'm completely uninterested in anything that's going on here.
"How old are you?" "The truth?"
He grins.
"Jailbait."
Keg Guy coughs under his breath, smacking him on the shoulder before he runs off, leaving us alone in the kitchen.
"The truth,"
he repeats. "The truth." I take a big sip from the cup. His words echo in my head. Truth. What is that anyway? No such thing. "What's your problem?" I ask, sure to sound positively bored out of my skull. I'm 18. Except that is a total lie, not the truth at all. Calm down.
All right,"
he says.
"Just busting your chops."
And then he smiles his smile from the doorway.
"So, not impressed, huh?"
he asks. "Not particularly," I shrug.
"Don't you want to join your friend out there?"
He gestures beyond the sliding door to the patio where Mara sits between Alex and Troy, her head thrown back in laughter. "That's not really my thing," I tell him.
"Oh, really? Well, what is your thing?"
he asks, looping his arm around my waist, pulling me closer to him. I feel my heart race, and the corners of my mouth turn upward somehow as I look at him. "I don't know," I answer, and that is the truth.
"Well, how about a tour of the house?"
he asks.
"What kind of host would I be?"
"Okay," I agree. I look at Mara once more before I follow him out of the kitchen. She's having a great time. She's fine. He leads me up the staircase to the second floor.
"Maybe we can find something a little more exciting for you,"
he says, looking over his shoulder at me. "Maybe," I reply, not sure who is doing my talking right now. He grabs my hand when we reach the landing and takes me down to the end of the hall, past people in rooms smoking and drinking, laughing and kissing. Then we go up another flight of stairs. My legs feel like they're jelly by the time we reach the top. There's a short hall with only two doors on either side, both closed. There's no one on this floor. "It's quiet up here," I say, feeling my confidence slowly beginning to drain as I realize just how far away I am from everyone, just how far this has already gone.
"Exactly. This is only for special guests,"
he says, taking a key ring out of his pocket as he approaches the door. "Special guests, huh?" I repeat, standing close behind him. He turns around and puts his hands on my waist. And suddenly, I'm up against the door and he's kissing me fast and moving his hands all over me. I feel this rush of energy flow from my toes to the top of my head and out through my fingers, the confidence flooding back through me. And now I kiss him the same way he kisses me. Move my hands over him the way he does to me. Careless, hard, dangerous. He fumbles to get the door unlocked. We tumble inside the darkened room. I barely have a chance to even look around to see where we are because it's all happening so fast. There's a bed, a dresser, a mirror. That's all I can make out before he slams the door behind us and locks it, turning back to me before I'm even able to take a breath. We're in the bed. The weight of his whole body on top of me, cold metal belt buckle pressing against my stomach, hands pushing my skirt up, underwear peeling down my legs. Belt buckle comes undone, scraping against my skin, the sound of a zipper, heavy breathing. It's over before I even fully believe it's happening, before I've even fully decided I'm going to do it, and I lie here staring up at the ceiling fan, the sky panting next to me. I don't even know his name. He doesn't know mine. We stay like this for what feels like a long time, but I can't be sure how much time actually passes. He finally lets out a sigh and sits up slowly, smoothing out his shirt and buttoning his pants. He looks over at me like he's forgotten I'm here.
"Thanks,"
he says quietly.
This was fun.
Yeah, I whisper, slipping my underwear back on. We don't speak as we make our way back downstairs to rejoin the party, and I realize I feel a little strange, like out of my body in a way I've never been before, in a way that feels so much better than drinking too much, or even that night at the playground when we got high. Better than any feeling I've ever had. Empty and full all at the same time. I somehow find my way to Mara still sitting outside, laughing just like she was when I left. It's like I was never gone, like time just stood still. They call me over, my name echoing through the thick air. I shake my head and walk to the edge of the crystal blue pool instead. Sitting down slowly, I take my shoes off and dip my feet into the cool water. I swirl my legs in figure eights over and over again as I look up at the stars, the warm breeze floating through me. I don't know who I am right now, but I know who I'm not, and I like that. It becomes difficult to avoid someone while simultaneously using them. That's Troy. I know he's had a crush on me these past 3 months, and I've been trying not to lead him on, not too much anyway. Still, he tells us about every party that's happening in a 30-mile radius, and I don't tell him about how I had sex with his older brother back in September. Not that I enjoy the parties all that much, but I enjoy losing myself, and there's always someone there, ready, waiting for something to happen, just like me. I've gotten good at picking them out right away, finding that someone. Not a bad person, someone who just wants what I want, to disconnect, for a little while anyway. From themselves, mostly, I think. I wouldn't really know, though, because it's not like we ever talk about these things. It's not like I really care, anyway. That's what I'm thinking about, lying on this lumpy futon next to some guy. The bedroom window is open and the winter air flows in easily, cooling my whole body. I can almost see my breath.
You're that girl,
he tells me, propping himself up on his elbow as he lights up a joint.
I didn't even realize it when we first started talking.
I turn to face him and see that he's looking down at me with a grin. What girl? I ask.
Let's just say people know who you are at our school,
he tells me as he exhales a cloud of smoke.
People talk about you,
he says, his words slowing down.
A lot.
He offers me a hit, but I shake my head. I haven't smoked pot since the playground with Troy. It turns out getting high really isn't my thing. This is my thing. The smoke begins to fill the room, making me feel dizzy. I close my eyes and try to sink down into this moment a little deeper, into my body, my mind. So deep I can come out the other side and forget how I even got here. I can hear the muted shouting and music on the other side of the door, but it can't touch me in here somehow.
You know,
the guy says, reaching over to brush my hair back away from my face, his voice pulling me away from this feeling. I open my eyes and try to focus on him.
I can't tell if you're really pretty,
he continues so sincerely, a soft smile on his face.
Or really ugly.
It's like when you're falling in a dream and you wake up shocked back into reality by your body hitting the bed with a crash. That's what his stupid, clumsy words do to me. And in that instant, an image forms in my mind, quick and fleeting. Josh. I see his smile, feel his sweetness, his arms around me. For just a moment, just a flash. It disappears almost immediately. As soon as my consciousness kicks in, he's gone. But he was there just long enough and just clear enough to jolt me, to shock my system with a surge of fresh heartache. It leaves me with this sick underwater sensation, something dangerously close to drowning. Josh would never, ever say anything like that to me, not even after the way I treated him. I sit up fast. I find my shirt and my pants. I get dressed. This guy lies there, watching me, smiling at me.
Where are you going?
He asks, taking too long to realize what I'm doing. Where do you think?
I don't know,
he says slowly. Look, I realize you're stoned, but you don't say fucked up things like that to a girl you just had sex with.
What did I say? I said you're really pretty, didn't I?
No, actually, that's not what you said. Leaving in a hurry was easier in the warmer months. Now I have layers to keep track of. I pull on my bootlaces with force as I tie them in a double knot.
Oh.
He laughs. I look at him before I leave. He's just lying there, shirtless, grinning and oblivious. You know, I can't tell if you're really mean or really stupid. He cracks up at that.
You're so funny,
he's saying as I'm closing the door on him, stepping out into the noise again. Fuck off. There are too many damn people crammed into this house. As I squeeze through the bodies, people look at me, and I wonder if they all know me as that girl, too. I find Mara in the basement. She's sitting between Troy and Alex on a dusty old couch. Mara's talking. Alex isn't listening. She acts like she likes him when we're at these parties, lets him put his arm around her shoulder, and she'll touch his leg with her foot, kiss him goodbye before we leave, but I think she's just using him, too. The only time she even mentions his name is when she's around Cameron. Still, after all these months of partying, they've only kissed. Hey, I call to Mara, barely able to find an empty place to stand. I'm going outside, I shout, pointing toward the door. Wait, she says, peeling Alex's arm off her shoulder. Wait, I'm coming with you. We push our way against the wall of bodies, weaving through the cases of beer stacked up on the floor of the kitchen like a maze. As I open the front door and step out into the cold, a welcome silence rushes over us, and I feel like I can breathe again. What's wrong? Mara asks. Nothing. She eyes me closely. No, there's something. It's nothing. I was just hanging out with this idiot. He said something kind of mean to me. It's okay, though. I mean, whatever. I'm fine. I don't care. I shrug, taking in a deep breath of icy air, allowing it to fill me before I release it. What did he say? It doesn't matter, I tell her, looking up at the sky. Let's go, she says. Really? You don't want to stay? What about Alex? It doesn't matter, she says with a laugh. I don't think he'll even notice, honestly. We drive to this 24-hour Denny's that's right in between our town and Troy and Alex's. It's only 10:30. I order a big breakfast, and Mara gets an enormous banana split. Tell me what that guy said to you? Mara asks me again as she picks the cherry off the top of a swirl of whipped cream. I really want to know. Fine. It's kind of funny, actually. He said he couldn't tell whether I was really pretty or really ugly. I finally admit. You've got to be fucking kidding me, right? Her face is caught between a smile and a frown. No. Those were his exact words, Mara.
That's heinous.
Yeah, I laugh. But what's worse is the way he said it. So sweetly, like it was a compliment or something. Not exactly the kind of thing you want a guy telling you right after you sleep with him. No, I guess it's not. Mara agrees, her laughter fading. Do you do that a lot, Edie? She asks me awkwardly, looking down at her banana split like she's counting the scoops of ice cream over and over. Vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. I mean, with guys you don't know? She finishes. Sometimes, I shrug. I mean, it depends, I guess.
Do you think that's such a good idea? I mean, that's kind of dangerous, isn't it?
I bite into a warm buttered toast triangle. I don't know how to have this conversation with Mara. I don't know how to explain it. Is it any more dangerous than getting wasted with a bunch of strangers? Her mouth drops open slightly. She's obviously insulted that I would even attempt to compare the two. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know I've done that too. I'm just saying it's kind of the same thing, don't you think?
No, I don't think it's the same thing at all, she says, sinking her spoon down into the softening mound of strawberry ice cream. Isn't sex, she whispers, supposed to be special? You know, with someone special?
Says who? A lot of things are supposed to be special that really aren't.
I guess, Edie, she says, not convinced.
Besides, I continue, It's not like there are all that many special people just hanging around anyway. Still, I feel like I should tell you I'm concerned or something. Tell you to stop doing that. I know what I'm doing. I reach across the table and steal a spoonful of her chocolate ice cream. No cause for concern, I promise. It's honestly not a big deal. Really. She shakes her head and shrugs, returning her attention to her banana split. Do you think Alex and Troy are ever not high? She asks, trying to change the subject. Not that I've ever seen, I say with a laugh. They're nice, though, at least, she points out. I nod. I take another spoonful of ice cream. I did something kind of not nice to Troy, Mara. Oh, no. Did you have, you know, with him? She asks. When? No, not with him. I kind of slept with his older brother, I confess, at that party way back at his house. It was really his brother's party. I've been feeling guiltier and guiltier about it every time we see him. Why did you do that? She asks. Well, I didn't plan on it or anything. It didn't mean anything. I never even spoke to him again after that. What? Why are you looking at me like that? I ask her, her face more horrified with every word I say. Sorry, I'm not judging. I'm just surprised. I just didn't know that it happened. That's all. Well, it did happen, but it didn't mean anything. I don't even know why I'm telling you, actually. No, I want you to tell me. I don't want you keeping all these secrets from me. I don't keep secrets from you, I lie. Okay. She pushes the banana split across the table. You have to help me finish this. It's melting.
It's beginning to look a lot like,
Mom half sings as she stands on top of one of the dining room chairs, holding a string of tinsely green garland.
Edie, hand me that thumbtack,
she calls over to me as I fidget in my seat, gnawing on my fingernails, counting down the minutes until Kaylin gets here. I take my phone out of my pocket. Nothing. No calls, no texts, no distractions. I'm desperate. I text Troy. Can we meet up in a while? Need a little help relaxing.
Edie,
my mom calls again. Bring me one of those. Oh, right. Sorry. Here, I say, holding out a palmful of metal tacks.
Thanks.
She smiles, catching my eye.
You know, it's nice to have you around for a change. We never see you since Mara started driving. You girls always have something to do, somewhere to be.
She sighs. My phone vibrates in my pocket. Troy, no prob. For you, ... any time. That reminds me, I tell her, thinking fast. I know Kaylin's coming home tonight, but I have to go do some last-minute shopping at the mall. Mara's picking me up, I lie.
Edie,
she says, pursing her lips, hand on hip.
You have to plan better than this.
I know, I just forgot a couple of things. I text back, thanks. 6 o'clock at playground?
Well, you'll be hard-pressed to find anything decent 2 days before Christmas.
She tisk-tisk-tisks her tongue at me, shaking her head.
Why don't I just take you now before Kaylin gets here?
Troy, can't wait, smiley face. Mom, you hate them all. Besides, Mara needs to go too, and you're in the middle of... I look around at the mountains of decorations and fuzzy snow. You know, all this, I finish.
Fine, she relents. But let's take it easy for the next couple of weeks, huh? Your brother doesn't get to make it back here as often as we'd like, as often as he'd like. We need to all make an effort to spend some quality time, okay?
Why are you telling me this? He's the one who's going to be spending all his time with Kevin.
Well, Kevin won't be joining us this year, so you don't have to worry about that.
I shove my phone deep into my pocket. What do you mean? Did hell freeze over?
Edie, stop.
She rolls her eyes.
I don't know. Kaylin just said Kevin would be staying there at the Armstrongs. That's all I know,
she says, throwing her hands up. That's good, I tell her.
Well, it's not good, but I suppose it's normal. I mean, they are technically his family,
she says. That's what I've been saying forever.
Well,
she begins, but that's it. Just well. I consider texting Troy back and telling him to forget it. But then I feel this tightness creeping up inside my chest at the thought of seeing Kaylin, even without his other half. I text Troy again. How's 5:30? Mara gave me her extra car key in case of emergencies while she and her mom are at her grandmother's house for the week. Her mom would flip out if she knew. My parents would flip out if they knew, mostly because I only just got my learner's permit and I'm not supposed to be driving any car. But this is the most legal thing I'm planning on doing tonight, so I really don't care. Troy's already there when I pull in the parking lot. Hey, I yell to him as I'm getting out of Mara's car. Have you been waiting long?
Nah,
he says quietly, batting at the air.
No big.
I walk up to him. He looks different to me, standing here with the sun going down, still daylight, barely. I've never seen him in the sunlight, but even the way he stands, the way he looks at me, everything feels different somehow. What's wrong? I ask, standing in front of him. I never realized we were the same height, although I don't actually think we've ever stood face to face like this before. He's always sitting down, on a couch, a floor, somewhere, slouched, smoking.
What? Nothing's wrong,
he tells me, shrugging as he tucks his hair behind his ears. A terrible thought crashes into my mind. He found out. Someone told him about me and his brother. Why do you seem like that, then? I ask.
Like what?
He asks, looking around, confused. Like not normal. Are you mad at me for anything? I pry.
No, of course not,
he says, grinning slowly.
Been smoking already? You're paranoid, girl,
he says with a laugh, and even that sounds different. No, you just seem like something's different, I tell him.
Well, I'm straight. That's probably why I don't seem normal.
He laughs again.
This is not my natural state. I was waiting for you.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. I hadn't even considered he could exist while not under the influence. Oh, I laugh. Okay, that makes sense.
You do need help relaxing, don't you?
He smiles, then he reaches forward and places one hand on each of my shoulders, kneading the muscles up to my neck, gazing at my face with a concentration I've never seen in him before. He steps in. I back away. I can't let him kiss me. Not right now. I look down, then back up. He looks down too, embarrassed.
Let's get in the car,
he says, rubbing his hands together.
It's freezing out here.
Thanks for meeting me, I tell him as I turn the heat on.
Course.
He shrugs, placing one of his expertly rolled joints between his lips. He lights it, then inhales.
What's got you all tense there?
He asks, looking at me sideways, still holding the smoke in his lungs as he passes the joint to me. I inhale shallowly, still a little bit afraid of what might happen, and exhale. Family.
Hear that?
He sighs. He turns the radio on, adjusting the volume perfectly. We pass the joint back and forth several times, not speaking. He reclines the passenger seat so he's almost lying down. He stares out through the windshield at the sun setting behind the wooden castle. I follow his gaze and watch as the colors bleed and mingle like something out of a dream. This is not the black and white world I once thought I was in. This world is alive and vibrating, and I'm alive in it. And that feels amazing. He nudges my arm. I look down. He's passing me the joint. And I hear his words, their pace slow, as I inhale and pass it back to him.
Do you always look like that?
He's asking. Like what? My voice echoes on some kind of delay. He takes one last deep drag, letting it nearly burn down to his fingers before he throws it out the window.
Pretty like that,
he says, looking up at me, his eyes wanting to close. I feel my mouth smile at him, then I lean over slowly, everything moving slowly, and kiss him. His hands gently touch my face in a way that makes me think too much of Josh. It seems like we kiss and kiss forever. He does it softly, slow like honey, nothing like that brother of his. He whispers,
I hope I can remember this.
and then we both start laughing and laughing. The next thing I know, a soft dim light wants my eyes to open. The next thing I know, I feel movement all around me, and someone takes my shoes off. Someone pulls my arms out of my coat. Footsteps surround me. I open my eyes. I'm looking up at my bedroom ceiling. My desk lamp casts a warm golden glow over everything. My eyes close again. Then I see a flash of me parking Mara's car in her driveway. Me trudging through the snow in the dark. Me putting my key in the door. The TV in the living room flashing. They open again. Kaylin stands over me. Kaylin? I hear myself mumble.
You're fine,
he tells me.
You reek of weed, Edie,
he whispers, his hands firmly planted on his hips. Why am I in my bed? I ask him, pushing the blankets off. I don't want to be in my bed.
Shh,
he says, jerking the covers back up.
I don't even want to know how you got home, or where you were, or who you were with, or what the fuck you were doing.
He whispers shouts over me. Stop, I tell him, covering my ears. At least I think I say the word.
You walked in the door and passed out, Edie. Mom and Dad don't know. They're in bed already.
Go away, I moan.
Sleep it off.
Then, dark.
Hey, Mara,
Cameron says, walking up to our table in the library. He glances at me as he sits down. I have my headphones in, so he doesn't bother speaking to me. I nod at him, though, and turn the volume down all the way so I can listen in on their muffled whispers. I absently thumb the pages of an enormous SAT study guide that Miss Sullivan brought over when she saw that I was reading a magazine instead of studying. Ever since we got back from winter break, it's been SAT fever around here. Suddenly, everyone's deadly serious and slamming energy drinks and overthinking the importance of their entire lives.
Hey,
she responds, smiling with her entire body.
What are you doing? Studying?
He asks. Trying to, anyway. She sighs, her head falling into her hands.
This is evil.
She lets the pages of the book fan over, losing her spot.
Well, why don't we study together?
He asks.
What are you doing tomorrow night? Steve's coming over. We're just going to be studying. You should come over, too. It'll be like a study group. Moral support, you know?
He laughs.
She can even come if she wants.
He adds, gesturing to me. I turn another page.
Oh, thanks for offering, but I have plans tomorrow night. We both do. Or probably anyway. I'm going to a party with this guy Alex I'm seeing, so...
She makes a point of referring to him as this guy Alex I'm seeing whenever she talks about him to Cameron, and he cringes more noticeably with every mention of his name. She knows exactly what she's doing, just like I know what I'm doing. Most of the time, anyway. I glance up. Cameron's just gazing into Mara's eyes, not saying anything.
What?
She asks innocently.
Let me know when you get sick of that.
He lays his hand on her shoulder for just a moment as he stands. And then he walks away. Mara turns around in her seat and watches him leave. I take my headphones off just as she turns back to face me, her eyes wide.
Oh, my God,
she whispers, reaching across the table to grab both my arms.
What just happened? Did you get all that?
Yeah, I did.
What am I supposed to do? Should I follow him? Is he mad at me?
She asks, talking fast.
Should I go after him?
No, you're not supposed to follow him, and he's not mad. He's jealous. I smile.
Congratulations.
What do you mean?
She asks, her face blank. Come on, wasn't this the whole point of Alex? I close the book. This conversation is definitely going to take up the rest of the period, if not the rest of our lives. To make Cameron jealous?
No. No, not really. I mean, not entirely anyway.
But as the thought sinks in deeper, a slow smile forms across her face.
This is good, isn't it?
She asks. Well, considering you've been in love with him for the past 3 years and now he's finally here? Yeah, I would say this is good. I laugh.
He's finally here, she repeats in awe.
I never would have thought I'd be spending a Friday night at Cameron's house. in Cameron's family room, with Cameron's mother and father and Shitsu roaming in and out, bringing us snacks and drinks. I never would have thought Cameron, with his piercings and hidden tattoos that Mara swears are there, his punk goth style and his infamous blue hair, was the product of a Brady Bunch household. We sit cross-legged on top of these giant pillows his mother insisted upon, Cameron and I opposite each other across a big, round, shiny wooden coffee table. Mara excuses herself to go to the bathroom, probably to reapply her lip gloss for the 100th time. I look around. Everything decorated in the most traditional way imaginable. A painting of a boat sailing peacefully under a bridge hangs above the couch. Delicate neutral colors adorn every surface. A vase of soft yellow tulips sits perfectly centered on top of a tiny table that could serve no other purpose than to hold a vase full of soft yellow tulips. "What's her name?" I ask Cameron, as his little dog nuzzles her face into my hand.
"Jenny."
"Why Jenny?" I raise my eyebrows at him, amused he would choose such a sensible name and for such a sensible dog, but mostly just amused at his super sensible life.
"I don't know,"
he mumbles.
"I guess because when I was 8, that's when we got her, I had a crush on a girl named Jenny. It was the best name I could think of."
He shrugs. "And now you have a crush on a girl named Mara?"
"Yeah, I guess I do,"
he says quietly.
"Look, pretend I'm someone else for a second, okay?"
he whispers, leaning over the coffee table toward me, keeping one eye on the door.
"You're her best friend. What do you think my odds are? I mean, this Alex guy, he sounds like a total loser."
"I don't know what your odds are," I lie. "Mara's a pretty special person. You know that, right?" The doorbell rings. His mother yells, "I'll get it," from the next room.
"Yeah, of course I know that,"
he whispers. "Good. Well then, I'd say you have a shot. I mean, she's here, isn't she?"
"Okay. Thanks, Edie,"
he tells me very seriously. Just then, a guy appears in the doorway. "Steve's here," Cameron's mother calls. Cameron instantly breaks eye contact with me as he hops up from the floor.
"Hey, man."
He does that guy handshake thing where he holds his hand out but just cups his fingers enough to slightly grasp Steve's hand, moving in to hug him briefly with his other arm.
"Come in, sit down, get comfortable."
Then to me,
"Edie, you know Steve."
"Eden," I correct. "Hi."
"Hey,"
Steve says slowly, staring at me.
"Wow, I didn't know you'd be here,"
he says, looking from me to Cameron.
"Yeah, I texted you,"
Cameron tells him.
"Mara's here too. She just went to the bathroom."
Steve sits down on the floor between me and Cameron, the only free spot left.
"I guess I didn't see your text,"
he says under his breath. I look at Cameron, then back to Steve. Something's going on. Steve is clearly not happy I'm here. I look at him closely. He almost doesn't even look familiar anymore. He's changed so much, I almost question if he really is Steven Reinheiser, a.k.a. Fat Kid. I look at him again. No, not fat, not gawky, not awkward. Not Steven. Maybe some alternate universe Steven. Steve Steven. He doesn't look anything like that kid who always took my side in book club arguments. Not the same shy, dorky, four-eyed kid who once sat at my kitchen table with me trashing Columbus. He could almost be sort of cute now. He's gotten taller. Not thin, but a good, solid, medium build. He's actually fit. Reasonably confident. But he kind of has that look about him. Like a sad, waiting-for-something-to-happen kind of look. If I didn't know any better, he could almost be someone I would hook up with at a party. Cameron sucks in a deep breath of air and holds onto it, swinging his arms in front of him, nervously catching his right fist in his left hand over and over. I pick up a Triscuit from the cheese and cracker plate his mother brought us. No one says a word. It's just the sound of Jenny panting faintly in my lap and the cracker crunching between my teeth. Thankfully, Mara comes back right then, her lips perfectly pink and shiny. "What did I miss?" she asks, smiling happily at all of us, touching Cameron's back as she walks behind him to take her spot on the floor between us, opposite Steve.
"Well, Steve's here,"
Cameron says, finally exhaling. "I see that. Hey, Steve," she tells him.
And you're here too,
he says with a playful, friendly smile, like he's relieved to see her. Suddenly, I feel like a total outsider.
Cameron, his mother says, standing in the doorway, clipping on an earring. Your father and I are heading out. We have those tickets for tonight, remember?
Yeah, okay, Mom,
he answers. Call if you need anything. We'll be home early, she says. And I swear she looks at me when she says it. Like maybe she knows. Like everyone across at least two school districts knows, I'm that girl.
Bye,
he tells her, Steve chiming in. Have fun, Mara calls to them. I hear the front door close and lock. I exhale too loudly. They all look at me. Any chance there's anything to drink around here? Cameron pushes a can of ginger ale toward me. I look at Mara. You've got to be kidding me, right?
Edie, come on, she giggles. We really do have to study here.
In that case, I'm going to need a cigarette at least, I tell them, standing up.
You have to go outside,
Cameron tells me quickly. I was going to. Don't worry. I roll my eyes at him as I put my coat on. The backyard is so impeccably landscaped and orderly, I'm afraid to move my feet because I'll make too many shoe prints in their flawless white snow. I light my cigarette and try to make it last as long as possible. I never did ask Mara what she said to Alex about us not showing up tonight. I don't mind too much anyway. I don't really want to see Troy again, especially not after our altered state, sweet and slow makeout session in Mara's car, especially because I still can't really put all the pieces back together to figure out how that night ended. I close my eyes and try once again, but it doesn't happen. What I see instead is Kaylin, the next day, standing over me in my bedroom grilling me, his angry voice still echoing through me.
Fucked up, Eden. Not okay. Not cool. Are you listening? You could get seriously hurt. In serious trouble. Why are you laughing? This is not funny. Are you listening to me? Eden?
I turn my head. My cigarette has burned all the way down, the ashes still holding its shape. Steve is standing there. What? I answer.
Hey. I brought you your phone. It keeps going off, so...
He stops mid-sentence, extending his arm all the way to hand me my phone, keeping us an arm's length apart. Thanks. I take the phone from him. Then he stands there and puts his hands in his pockets. I light another cigarette. A series of texts from Troy are still visible on the screen in reverse order. Are you mad at me? I want to see you. Hey, pretty girl, it's been a while. Are you coming tonight? I look over at Steve, looking down at his sneakers. He obviously saw the texts. I put my phone in my pocket without responding. Want one? I ask him, holding the pack of cigarettes toward him.
No,
he says, holding up his hand.
But thanks, I guess.
He tries to smile. I can't quite tell what he's all about these days. He wears some kind of comic book superhero-type t-shirt over a long-sleeved thermal. His hair is just slightly unkempt, but his eyes are bright and clear and focused, not at all like Troy's or any of the guys I've been around recently. Do you not like me or something? I finally ask.
No, I thought it was the other way around.
He looks me straight in the eye. He's bolder than I remember. Why would I not like you? I ask instead of answering him.
I have no idea,
he says, crossing his arms.
Why do you not like me?
I never said that, I tell him. I don't not like you. He nods his head and looks up at the sky. He opens his mouth to say something, but Cameron opens the screen door, interrupting us, yelling impatiently.
Okay, really? It's time to start studying this shit. Seriously.
Then he pops his head back inside and slams the door.
All right,
Steve laughs.
I guess it's time to start studying this shit,
he echoes, gently mocking Cameron like maybe I'm not such an outsider after all. I stub my cigarette out and follow him inside. Part 4. Senior Year. I've been with 15 different guys. Sometimes it seems like too many, other times it seems like not nearly enough. But each one takes me just a little farther away. I'm so far gone now, sometimes I feel like maybe it's almost enough. Because honestly, there isn't the slightest trace left of that frizzy-haired, freckle-faced, clarinet-playing, scared, silent little girl. And her big secret is really not such a huge deal anymore. It was all so long ago now, it practically never even happened. After all, I'm only one